call the July 15th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderwoman Evans?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Here.
Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go to item B1, citizen comment period. Is there anyone wishing to speak on any subject? Mr. Sakwinski, name and address, please, for the record.
Jay Sakwinski, 2807 West Plaza Drive, Franklin. Lived there for over 40 years. This is my third appearance here talking about the ROC program and the ELPS program, medical research that's being conducted presently on citizens of Franklin with basically no knowledge. I'm opposed to the program as it's being implemented presently. I was told that we were under contract with that, and there is no contract. That I talked with the director of medical services today, and he tells me that any community can opt out of it if it's legitimate that the citizens are opposed to it. You can opt out of it. You didn't. You could have opted out of it in the beginning. Is that nobody was aware of it, and that's my big complaint. If you want to take part in research, it should be people are opting in. This is a bracelet you're supposed to wear to opt out. If there's any women here, would you want to wear this? The word is spreading. People are starting to understand what it is. As I look at it, I've been here for a long time. I sit on a personnel committee, and I wanted it as a discussion item, and it was rejected. It was rejected by Mark, by the city attorney, by the mayor, saying that it's off point, it's not in our scope of responsibility. Well, I submit to you that safety falls under responsibility. I grew up in safety. That's what I did. That's what I retired as a safety director. This affects every employee that works for the city, and it affects every citizen that lives in the city. If that doesn't fall under safety, I don't know what does. And it's a discussion to see what we can do to make people aware of it. I've talked to the fire chief. He says it's on a website. Anybody goes in there and look, I had one person that told me they looked, couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. It's buried in the annual report. Makes no mention of the way it's implemented. Makes no mention that you can opt out. I look at the newsletter and things that are talked about in there, trash pickup, you name it. I look at, in Franklin, if you want to build a garage, what do you got to do? You got to get a permit. You got to get permission from you guys. If you guys want to put in a swimming pool, what do we got to get? We got a permit. We want to put in air conditioning, what do we got to get? A permit. Got to get permission from you. I think the citizens here would expect that if you guys want to conduct medical research on us, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that we get permission from the people that it's being conducted on. I put the question to, I met with the director of the medical college that's running this program last Wednesday, and I asked him, when I made the phone call on the 31st of December at 3 o'clock in the morning, was it reasonable for me to expect the Franklin paramedics would not be conducting medical research on my wife that evening? Was it reasonable for me to expect that they would not be? Should I have had it in my mind? Two of them couldn't answer the question. One guy said it was. The one guy finally got an answer out of him. He says, well, that depends how much you know. I think it's sad that when you dial 911 in 2014 in the city of Franklin, that I have to worry about the paramedics that are responding. I think it's a sad statement to this city that I've never, ever worried about if I had to call 911 that I wasn't going to be getting the best care that I could get. Didn't happen this time. I would be hard pressed. I won't call 911. I'll look for a hospital first. I'm disappointed in the trust level that I had for our fire department, our fire chief, and the paramedics. And you guys are asking paramedics to conduct a program that some of them probably struggle with. Because although it may meet the definition of legal, it's highly immoral and unethical.
We talked on the call, Mr. Sackwitz.
Right.
Can you let us know what it is that you'd like the city to do, please?
I'd like the program halted the way it's currently being administered. I think people should be asked to participate in it. Okay? At minimum, it should be on the front page of the website, in the front page of a newsletter, so people have an opportunity to be aware of it. There's a few folks that signed up here. Does anybody know about it? Did anybody know about it prior to this?
No.
Probably not.
No,
Nobody did.
Jay, please.
I mean, it's sad. And so that's what I'm looking for, to get the people informed. You can opt out of it. If you have a meeting, put it on the agenda, people will flood into here, just like they did for Northwestern when it was coming up. I mean, how many people, this place is full for that. I'd like to see half the passion that was used when we were looking to get a tree count for Northwestern. I mean, people are up in the air over a tree count. This is a life and death situation that people say, well, what the heck? Let's not worry about it. Not my responsibility. I'm on that committee. I've heard a lot of crazy things that go through it. I'd like to have it for a topic of discussion to get the ball rolling, to get some ideas out there, brainstorm, think what we can do. I got a city attorney. I got the guy head of administration and you, Mr. Mayor, that's stonewalling it. I'm not stupid. I was born at night, but not last night. When people start to post things, that really puts my area, and I say, why? What is there? This isn't really anything political. It's a serious situation that we find ourselves in that people don't have the courage to address head on. I think it's a sad statement to this body that we're not willing to do more to get people at least notified. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Just for the public, the Common Council has not discussed this as a whole. And I see Cuddy Fire Chief here, and I'm going to recognize you in a second. But we have taken Mr. Sakwinski's issue to heart. Understand, please, if you will, that we are constrained by HIPAA laws and the confidentiality and sensitivity to Mr. Sakwinski and his situation. So we're not going to be a lot public about his situation. We do take his issue very seriously. And as Mr. Sakwinski and I have discussed on a number of occasions, we want to work through the entire issues. And tonight was part of that. Mr. Sakwinski asked for greater awareness. I think I can speak on behalf of the entire Common Council that we too share that issue. I just received Saturday, language that's going to be put in the newsletter, two official flyers from the Federal Health Administration that's been cleared through the medical staff here. That will be an insert in the newsletter that will come out soon. There will be an article on the front page of the newsletter. And with this conversation, the Director of Administration will put a notice up on the homepage of the newsletter. Now, going forth, Mr. Sakwinski brings up a good point. The public ought to be aware of trials that are being done by the city of Frank. Trials that are being done by the EMS system and participated in by the city of Franklin. And that'll take some more study as to how we do that. And I commit to get that done. And Jay will have you part of that. So thank you. Mr. Alderman Mayor.
If I may speak. Mr. Sakwinski, first of all, you have my sympathies for your loss. As I expressed to you at the day of your wife's funeral, you have my sympathies. But I do want to address the paramedic issue, and I don't know the specifics in your wife because that is covered under HIPAA, as the mayor indicated, so I don't know exactly of that. But as somebody who's been with the system for many, many years, I can tell you that when you criticize the Franklin paramedic system, it is one of the best in the country. Milwaukee County paramedic system is one of the top three paramedic systems in the country. And it's there because of studies that have been done over the last 30 years. And in order to get a new medication out that helps people down the road, you've got to do studies. You can't just put it out there and hope it does good. You need to have evidence. And certainly I sympathize for the loss of your wife, and I don't even know those situations. But in the long run, whatever medication was done, in the long run, it will help people down the road. Maybe it'll help your kids or my kids. I don't know. Maybe people in the audience. But studies have to be done. We know that with any kind of food or drug in the system. Milwaukee County does what they can to get the word out. I know thousands of dollars are spent every year for studies that they conduct. And with a million people in the county, how do you get the word out to everybody? And quite realistically, unless it affects somebody today, not many people pay attention to those words.
You said they reached out, they spent money, okay? There's 1.5 million people that affects, okay? As of last week, 8 people opted out. As I told the doctor, I said, it's very simple. I'm not opposed to medical research. I'm opposed to people having an automatic opt-in. I hear it all the time. You want to be, it was just on the radio today, you want to be part of a diabetic research program? Call this number, you opt in. You can't blindly enroll somebody into a program without them knowing. If it was reversed and they're reaching out to 1.5 million people, 8 people opted in, what's the chances that they would look and say, not doing a real good job getting to these folks? Of the 1.5 million people that this is being rolled out to, they physically contacted via paper or personal meetings 34,000 people or 38,000 people out of 1.5. Somebody do the math, put it on a calculator. Okay, that's like saying, I'm going to not even fill up Miller Park, and I'm going to take that snapshot and apply it blindly through the community. Is you take the director of emergency services of Milwaukee County, he suggests, and you're the fire chief, I don't know if it was part when you were on there, suggests it to you guys can or can't take it to the common council, and bang, it's in. It's not even a topic of discussion. That's insane to me. You take 34,000 people that they contacted and let them speak for 1.5 million. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make sense. If I was ahead of a program, and I've rolled out many pilot programs in my day, and I was only reaching 8 people that opted out, I would think any rational thinking person, if you were taking a program like this and rolled it out, and you had 8 people that opted out, you'd say, not doing a good job. If it was that they had to opt in and you had 8 that opted in, they would say, absolutely, we did a bad job. Nobody knows about it. So you can meet your legal requirements. It was in the classifieds in a journal. It never got into an article. It's just an ad. So you can say, I'm not opposed to medical research. But in my wife's case, I'm there. They don't ask me. Nobody has the right to make that decision for me. I don't give a crap who they are. Not any government agency or anything. And then when I talk to the fire chief and ask why, and that's off of talking points, I'm sure, we were afraid, they didn't ask me because they were afraid it would negatively affect the outcome of the research.
Jake.
Basically, I don't care. Basically, what I'm telling you is that they didn't ask me because they knew I'd say no. So I'm not opposed to research, but I'm opposed to people being used as guinea pigs without them even knowing it.
I just wanted to avoid having you paraphrase what you heard from the chief. It becomes third hand. And,
well, whatever.
Just so everybody understands, this program is part and parcel of the paramedic program that Franklin is a part of with the county. And like all paramedics and all paramedic programs, we do what the doctors tell us under contract and under experience. So up until actually 5 minutes ago, The EMS program controlled the information regarding this particular issue, and the City of Franklin is going one step beyond at your expense to get this publicized. So we hear what Mr. Sakwinski is saying. We take it to heart. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
How long are we under contract?
It's the EMS contract. That's not. That's for her house. Yeah, this does not give a term. 2016.
And it was signed when?
Signed on the 13th of January. I'm sorry, 22nd of January, 2013.
And is there clear enough language in that for us to know that we were in that?
Yes.
Yes.
We have to be careful. We have to say this correct and properly. Our contract specifies that we are automatically enrolled in studies and research projects.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, that's not true.
Jay, let's...
Okay.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
I think everyone up here should have a copy of that. So we can read it and consider it. When I saw... I dug a little deeper into it based on his letter, and I went online, and I was a little surprised myself on the details that I didn't know about that weren't within that contract. So I think it should have been made clear what it meant.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I mean,
yeah.
We're under requirements by this particular organization. So let's work through this. Appreciate, Jay, your patience and your
well,
concern.
I appreciate him bringing it to our attention.
And we'll stay in touch, Jay. Let's not kill us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, with all due respect, I did not know this was going to be an agenda item tonight, so I am not prepared to speak about it, or I would. So I would like to say that it's unfair to discuss this without it being an agenda item.
Mr. Green, you know the routine.
3519 West Forest Hill Avenue, Casper Green. You know, I don't want to continue this discussion, but I've known Mr. Sakwinski, Jay, for how long, Jay? About 15 years, 17 years, something like that. And I know that Jay is very sincere in everything that he does, and he is, I use this word with respect, he's very hard-headed, and when he gets hold of a subject... And I say that with respect, Jay. When he gets a hold of a subject, he needs an answer. So my suggestion to you, Mr. Mayor, and to the Common Council, come back with an answer to him and give him an answer one way or the other and let him know which way the city is going to go on this situation. And I didn't get up here to speak about that, though. Excuse me. I got up to speak about the 4th of July parade. I know that... In years past, I don't know about last year because I wasn't able to come, I don't believe. But in years past, they put the stands up here pretty much in front of City Hall. And so I parked my car, as did most attendees, I believe. I parked my car in the lot over here, and I saw people parking all the way, all around. And so I walked up, and I couldn't see the stands. So I went back down, and I said to the officer that was in the patrolling parking lot, where are the stands that the people usually sit on? He said, well, they're right up there where they were before. I said, no. I said, I couldn't see them. I couldn't see them. I went up there. He said, they're there. I saw them just last night. So I walked up there, and I still couldn't see them. So I started to walk down towards the police station, and I thought, I asked the people, where in the world are the stands? And they said, about a half a mile down. Well, I wasn't going to walk down there. I was going to go home. But I ran into a friend of mine, Pete Kosovich and his wife. So Pete says, don't go home. He said, I'll run to my car and get you a chair. Well, in the first place, I'd like to know who decided to, you know, I don't need an answer to this. I'm just a rhetorical question. Who decided to put the stands way off down there where very few people park? Why don't they put them back up here within walking distance of this area here? Now, I know that you guys don't run that parade. You have a committee that does that. But I do believe that you have some persuasive input into that. So why don't you bring those stands next year back up here so people like myself don't have to walk a half or three-quarters of a mile to get to those stands, because that's where the majority of the people should be, is right here on the stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. You'll notice that Alderwoman Evans is taking notes. She serves on that committee. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Hi, Carrie, 6960 South Bryan Court. I'm here to speak, if need be, on item number 5. I just want to let you know, I hope I can still be here when it comes up on the agenda. I do have a newborn baby at home that I have to get home to. So I thought I'd at least ask if it was possible to move it up any in the agenda.
Well, since we have a history of being grumpy, probably not, but sure. Anyone else? Yes, sir. You've heard me ask before. Name and address, please, for the record.
Ron Tremel, 2879 West Plaza Drive. We've been citizens here for about 16 years, and I was just appalled when I heard about this EMS research thing. Jay brought it to our attention, and just a little over a year ago, the city of Franklin, the waste contractor, instituted a new recycling program. And in order to get that out, they put out flyers. They were in the newsletter, and they were all this opt-out, opt-in, and all that. And they went through all that expense to announce waste receptacles. Yet they couldn't announce, I'm going to be subjected to EMS research, other than in a newspaper that nobody reads. Thank you.
I'll remind you again, this program's not run by the city, and we didn't have, fortunately, anything to do with its announcements.
But so you run the fire department, so, and that's where the EMTs are.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir. From the back row.
David Mordashevsky, 2928 West Southby Drive, Frank. Jay's neighbor as well. Just amazing. Loss. Are you guys in this program? Do you opt out? Are you opt out? Are you in or out?
I'm in.
Are you in? How do you opt out? How does one opt out of this? How do we do it? You're telling me this isn't Franklin's concern. You're telling it's Milwaukee County's concern.
That's not what I said.
You said Franklin's got nothing to do with it. Our hands are tied. Where is this coming from? Milwaukee County? Who makes the decision? Who signed the bylaws saying that as Franklin, as an identity, you have to belong and do research programs? I want that guy's head. I want that person's head. Who is he to speak for all of us? Who? How does this happen? This is a democracy. This sounds like something out of the past. I don't want to even go there. This is crazy. You're doing research on human beings? Who knows, like you say, with the HIPAA laws? But I'm going to tell you something with the EMS program as well. You better get your supplies in order. Supplies fail. Supplies get compromised. Now we have all issues here. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am, please.
I'm not Jay's neighbor.
My name is Valley Sternick. I'm at 3241 West Forest Hill Avenue. And I am a healthcare provider, and I've done healthcare research. But I did review that research proposal, the ROC MCW research that's being conducted. And there's just a few concerns that I have about the process as you look to this in the future and have it on another agenda. And that is, in terms of the opt-out, you have to wear the bracelet to opt out. And there are professions where individuals aren't allowed to wear bracelets at work because it's a safety hazard. And so if that person would have a cardiac arrest, they are automatically going to be in it. They might have a bracelet, but they don't have it on at work at the time. Also, in terms of durable power of attorney for healthcare, this research study doesn't appear to take consideration of that, because when you do have a durable power of attorney for healthcare, you should be able to speak for your loved one who cannot speak for themselves, and this does not address that. And then the medications, amiodarone and lidocaine and the placebo. There have been previous research studies done on these medications showing, for example, that amiodarone is more effective for ventricular fibrillation. And so why is this study being done now? You said, you know, to help the future. But we know a lot about these medications already. We know about lidocaine. We know about amiodarone. Studies have been done on both of those. You know, amiodarone has been shown to be more effective.
Studies were done on those.
Yeah. And so, and I guess the other final thing I wanted to say.
Was everybody aware when those studies were done on them? Those studies were done, sorry.
Yeah, they've been done in the past. And these are the meds being done in this current study, too. And then the final thing, I just want to also mention that I went to the website, to the Franklin website, to look for a public posting. I went through every public posting there was. And normally, and when I've done research, I always make sure that the people that I'm doing research on are well aware of it. And I could not find anything on this, with the exception of the 2013 one paragraph from the fire department report, not a public notice at all. And so just in terms of process, being a researcher myself, I had some grave concerns about that that I want you to just think about as you look more into this in the future. Thank you.
Appreciate your comment.
You're welcome.
But your comment highlights exactly the issue we have. We have no authority over the study, the drugs, the method of transmittal of any information, whatever. It's not our study. We're merely the functionaries in this. And like all good EMTs and paramedics, the doctor tells them to do something, they do it, because the doctor's the doctor. So I appreciate your comments. All we can do is what we as a city are allowed to do. Briefly, Alderman Mayor. No, okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Last chance. I'll close the citizen comment period. Thank you very much. Item B2, announcements from me. Item A, this is, by the way, this is new, and I intend to use this forum. Okay, I intend on putting my updates on the council agenda so you all can hear the same thing at the same time without any issues. Item A, administrative updates. City engineer recruitment update. The recruitment is well on its way. And I brought it in. Where is it? Here it is. The applications are due August 4th. August 22nd, we'll have a submittal from the consultant with 8 to 10 candidates. September 8th will be the first round of in-person interviews, and an offer anticipated September 22nd. Of course, candidates are yet to be found. Here is the brochure that's posted online for applicants, so you may see that. We are in process on the compensation study. The RFQ should go out next week, right? RFQ.
The compensation study?
Yep.
Went out last week.
Thank you.
Responses are due July 31st.
So we hope to have information data so that we can account for that in the budget. There have been some personnel changes. We lost a police dispatcher, so we're hiring two. One that's a position we're filling, and then the new lost one. We are going to hire an assistant building inspector to replace the one who resigned, and we have a program in place to help cover the workload in the short term. So that's that. In your packet, there's a notice from the county parks about a request for them to get information from us. That's in your packet. And also in your packet is a proclamation from me on Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Month. All right, so that's it for announcements. Item C, approval of the regular minutes of July 1st. Any additions or corrections? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item E1. These are quick.
Sorry.
Item E1, appointment of Jessica Kent to the Economic Development Commission. Alderwoman Willem. No, Cubs.
That's Jim's.
Kim.
Motion to approve Jessica Kent to the Economic Development Commission.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Unless there's an objection, let's go to item G5. Resolution to release in part a tree preservation and conservancy easement upon lot 64 of the Woodlands of Franklin subdivision. The address is 6960 South Bryan Court. Who's doing this? Alderwoman Willem.
This is pretty self-explanatory. I'm prepared to just make the motion unless there's questions, but I feel obligated, since this has always been a sore issue for me, to make a little history statements quickly for the council. This subdivision was one that caused the review of the Environmental Commission to get pulled from it. Environmental Commission, I was on at the time, recommended that these lots would be problems in the future. Every one of the lots that were brought to the attention of the council, plan commission, have become a problem, and this is one of them that helps resolve that. She is not the the original owner. The problem came up, but I think it would have came up before this owner, but I think it would have come up with just about anyone trying to put a house in, open up their patio door, and have brush right outside their house rather than having a little space. So motion to adopt a resolution to release the minor corrections are on this one in front of you, but just to make sure everyone's seen it. So do I need to make it with minor corrections since this is the one in front of us? Then when I make my motion?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Go home and take care of your child.
Here, take this one with you because this is the actual one that there are two minor changes to it.
Item G1, consent agenda. Have a good night. There is a request by staff to make one comment on the senior travel program. Mr. Liberto.
Just noting on the senior travel program, as part of the discussion we had in new CDBG programs, we have worked the application for this for next year to be able to ensure that the health department, for example, can do it for local programming as well as the traditional programming done. And it appears, and we're working toward the fact that we'll be able to start that immediately for current year allocations as well, too. So met with the health department, and they're looking to take advantage of some of the potential funding for travel for their senior or for their adult education program to the extent that it applies and is used by people over the age of 62. So there's some limitations, but we believe we'll be able to start immediately doing it, and Bill's already got programming ideas underway.
Action on the consent agenda. Somebody
move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion opposed? Hearing none, motion carries 6-0. Item 2, a resolution to quote conditions and restrictions for approval of a special use for a hydraulic and pneumatic cylinders and production scrap baling machine manufacturing business use on a property located at 10179 South 57th Street.
So, second.
Mr. City Attorney.
only that when this matter was before the plan commission, the staff recommendations did not include a time limit on deliveries, and there was a neighboring property owner who spoke at the public hearing and expressed that concern, so the plan commission added in that particular condition, also with the note that the applicant would be present at the common council meeting for any further comments because the applicant wanted to talk with the business managers prior to confirming that. I don't know if that's occurred, and I don't know if the applicant's here.
Let's try it this way. Alderwoman Evans.
Yeah, I'd like to amend the motion to remove condition number 4.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
On the motion to amend, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On the original motion, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Welcome to the City of Franklin. We look forward to a long relationship. We thank you. Let's do the 2-minute commercial. Come on up.
Be happy to take any questions you might have.
Give us a nickel tour of your company.
125-year-old company, been in South Milwaukee for 100...
Excuse me, Brett. Would you give us your name and address?
I'm sorry. Yes, Bart Mitchell. I actually live in Mequon. Sorry about that.
You're coming to the right direction.
Yes, 10416 North River Lake Drive in Mequon. We've reached the point in the South Milwaukee area that the facility we have, which is a series of 8 buildings combined over a period of about 80 years, became unusable for us to move forward with our production facility planning. Came looking for a new place in a new city, and they both ended up in Franklin. We're a pretty good neighbor. We've been in the current location since 1969 and never had a complaint from any of our neighbors, and literally our neighbors are across a city street from us. So it's worked out very well for us. Actually, some of our employees live in Franklin. They're looking forward to coming home. And I don't think there's going to be an issue with the gentleman who was here a couple of weeks back. I think I'm third.
When will you be moving in?
Probably right around the first of the year.
Excellent.
There's a business. A gentleman owns a business in there right now. He's in the process of winding that business down. We think toward the end of the third quarter he'll be finished, and then there's some modifications to the inside of the building.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're happy you chose us. Thank you very much.
Well, we're looking forward to it very much. Appreciate it.
And we're honored to have the Honorable Sam Dickman. Sam is the president of the Village of Bayside. He's a real estate agent.
So Sam brought us here.
Sam's a good man.
Okay. Any other questions?
Anybody? Thank you very much. Congratulations. Welcome. Item G2, a resolution imposing condition. We did that one. Sorry. I don't have my scratched out yet. Item G3, park development and impact fee expenditures and all accessible, all-inclusive playground and park nature center. City of Franklin, Kayla's crew and community partners, Penfield Children's Center, the Conservation Fund, Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewerage, Green Seams Program, Alderwoman Mayor. There's something. Motion to direct.
I would like to make that motion. To direct staff to proceed with negotiations to provide the use, financing, and development. Did you read this already?
I didn't. Well, I did. But I did not read the motions.
Okay. Plans and agreements and acquisitions necessary for the development of an all-accessible and all-inclusive playground and park nature center as generally presented and described by staff at the July 15, 2014 Common Council meeting and to return the results thereof to the Common Council when ready for final consideration by the Council.
Second.
Discussion. Alderman Wilhelm, this was at Parks Commission last night?
Yes, it was. Park Commission is excited about it as well. So we have their blessing. The only thing I want to know, they had a lot of discussions about amendment to the core plan if that was necessary, so I'm going to guess that the city attorney will include that as part of that. We won't have to amend the motion. Correct?
Yeah. Well, it's understood. For those of you in the audience who don't know what this is, Alderwoman Mayer has done a wonderful job in bringing together several different groups revolving around a fully accessible park for children with disabilities that will also be available, of course, to children who are fully able. But through some discussion and the help of Alderman Wilhelm and the city attorney and the planning staff, we're now negotiating in a good position for a 49-acre nature preserve with wetland, possible trails, as well as a 5-acre fully accessible playground. It's just a wonderful financial arrangement, too. So my compliments to the alderman and the city attorney, Alderwoman Mayer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would also like to thank the city staff very much for their help in this. Everything really did come together in a way that I even wasn't imagining. So I really appreciate all the work and arguments that went into it, but it all still fell into place. Thank you very much.
Just getting started. Any other discussion? Alderman Mayer.
Just a question on the write-up. Toward the bottom, there's several different options presented. We're investigating all of those options. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes. On the record, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
I would like to possibly make a second
Absolutely.
Motion.
Under the same agenda item.
Under the same agenda item. I do want to make a motion to state that the Common Council hereby expresses its full support for the all-accessible and all-inclusive playground and park nature center general concept as presented. And doing that because the Kayla's crew needs to possibly present this in August at their fundraiser, and it would be nice for them to know that we are fully behind.
Second.
Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, please note that as unanimous. Thank you very much. Any other action on that item? Item G4, concept review for proposed single-family residential and commercial development at approximately 11906 West Loomis Road and 11205 West Ryan Road. Mr. Fuchs.
The applicants are here to present, but I'll give a quick overview. This is a concept review for proposed 225-lot single-family residential development with approximately 9 acres of commercial development along Loomis Road and Ryan Road. The land is primarily zoned R2. The applicant is proposing to utilize the R2, R3, and R5 zoning district standards, which would provide a range of lot sizes from 13,000 to 40,000 square feet. The properties involved are designated as a business park in the city's 2025 future land use map. If the project proceeds, a rezoning and comprehensive master plan amendment, as well as the subdivision plat applications, will be required. Staff is recommending that the city maintain the planned business park use as envisioned in the comp plan.
Thank you. Applicants, come on up. Mark. Come on, have a seat. Oh. Try to be friendly. By the way, this is an opportunity for us to give feedback to the applicant. However, we have to be careful not to do an informal vote. Let's just give feedback and not be legal.
Okay, I'm Ray Leffler, 111 Lamplighter Lane, Point. We're looking for input today on this proposal. We know it varies from your existing comprehensive plan. We've looked at this site, and we've done some exploration. In fact, we went and saw Mike Mooney and Gary Chabin trying to gather input on the use of this site as a future business park and trying to ascertain its viability where most of the larger companies that we see in the area like to be closer to the eye. And I know they've completed a very successful park here in Franklin, and we wanted to gather some input since I own a couple other industrial parks. With that, we kind of asked them what their thoughts were, and they thought that this would be more of a localized kind of park if it were to stay this way, where you'd have smaller businesses in this area that could expand into that area. But Barry had thought that the absorption would be quite slow, maybe 10 acres a year is what he told me, you know, going through that area. Which if they were going to go with a TIF district and put a successful TIF together, it wasn't a very quick use. So we asked and looked and talked to the landowner, talked to Joe Eldridge, who represents the sellers, if we would come in with a different idea. We think there's lots that are still needed in Franklin. We were looking to come in with something that have houses that range in the $300,000-$400,000 range. We put together a plan, and I'll let Josh talk a minute from Trio Engineering, who put together this this plan for us. But we are here to ascertain your input, get your comments, and to see if this is viable going forward. We know that we need your support and the community support, and knowing that you'd want something like this in your community on that site. So the but I'll let Josh go into how we created this this site and those units and as he looked at the land. So with that, I'll give this to Josh for a second. Josh.
Good evening. Josh Modelko at True Engineering, 12660.
It's on the top there, Josh.
12660 West North Avenue, Brookfield. A concept that we developed really is based on a transitional residential theme with a strong commercial presence on our main arterial roads. Our location on Loomis is set. The location we show is where the median opening is. It's where the entrance to this property wants to be. The overall vision and theme is maybe lost a little bit just on the scope or scale of the drawing, but it really is to bring in an open space type feel. The green corridors you see kind of cutting through two different variations of the concept plan to be anywhere from 50 feet wide minimum to well over 100, 200 feet wide. The idea is to allow kind of a passive use trail system to go through. You know, we start to develop off Loomis Road, that main entrance, kind of a main thoroughfare with pedestrian walkway accommodations. The idea in this plan is a centralized pocket park. We have some natural wetland, pond, and wooded areas that we can link all our kind of passive walking trails to. And then you see a different transition of the R5, R3, R2 lot types. The idea in larger lots to the east is to start to blend into what the community is out there right now. But definitely open to your input and interested in it. And available for any questions.
As the guy sitting in the wheelchair, I'm taking first whack. I noticed 11, as I counted them, could be wrong, cul-de-sacs. As the CEO of the city and responsible for the Department of Public Works, I can tell you that this will not be met by them with much excitement. Essentially, every cul-de-sac doubles the amount of time it takes to plow and drive a street. So this would have an adverse impact, at least in its current design. And this is concept review, so this is concept. The cul-de-sacs have a detrimental effect on our budget, so I put that up to you. You had a conversation with folks at MLG. I think we all should recognize that there's a potential conflict of interest with them. So this, folks, is one of the reasons why I wanted to update the Tickner report so we have an unbiased document to take a look at. So that's it for me. I would support a business park in this area. Anyone else? Alderman Mayer.
$300,000 to $400,000 range. What's larger, R2 or R5?
Lot size?
Lot size, house size.
R2 is the larger lot.
Okay. The other suggestion I would have going forward is the way it's set up right now, we've got one exit on Loomis, and I don't know if you can put another exit or entrance on Loomis, but that's going to direct everybody from the subdivision onto that one arterial onto Loomis, and you're going to get some high-speed cars going there, a lot of heavy traffic. If you could put another entrance exit onto Loomis to split that at least in half, would be my suggestion.
Alderman Schmidt.
I think you are looking at potential for some commercial or retail development along Loomis Road.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we have two physicians right now that would look at potentially building some new clinics in that area. So that was a start when we put out in our feelers. It's a very interesting site with having a high wire on the west side of the property and then a high wire right through the center of the property. That's part of how Josh came up with his design to have some walking areas in there. So it's got a little challenge to it, but we thought we could overcome that challenge. But the commercial, we thought commercial would come second, but it's nice to have a couple inquiries right up front.
Over about how long of a period do you think it would be to build this out?
At the density that was proposed, you're probably looking at 20 units, 25 units a year, so you could have a 10-year build-out here if the economy continues to improve.
So if I do my math right, 10 units a year for 100 and some odd houses, and then 10 acres a year for, which I think is silly, 10 acres a year for industrial build-out, comes out about the same. So, Alderwoman Mayer.
I want to congratulate you on your endeavor to mix the 70-30 ratio. I think you took that seriously, and I like the way that concept came together. I personally know from residents in my area that the residential would be, much more likable than industrial. I think possible industrial would be a little bit more speculative. We know what would be going in here, and it may take a little bit longer, but we have, exactly what's going to happen. Possibly with the industrial, you'd have questions as to, what kind of companies would be coming in, and then my residents would be worrying about, smell and what they look like and, whatever. The commercial property that you have proposed, I think, is going to complement the residents there. I think it will help Loomis Road develop a little bit more, too. I think the residential is also going to complement the commercial property that is already there, namely the movie theater, the Innovative Health and Fitness, even the doggy daycare place. So I'm really happy with everything that you've put together.
Thank you. One thing we'd like to tell you, this property does entail the two parcels that are on the north side of the street. So you have the hard corner that we would look at doing something in the future. And you have the other large piece, which we have to determine some wetlands. I know someone looked at doing something years ago. I believe it was a church. And they ran into some issues with wetlands on that site, but that is also part of the proposed purchase we have. So we would bring some future plans to you for those pieces. But you'd look at something commercial going, of course, on that that hard corner that you have on that northwest corner.
Alderman Dandridge.
I was wondering, what are you envisioning in regards to a price range for the values of homes in these certain districts of R5, R3, and R2?
You'd start around the mid threes, and you'd go up into the fours and up
as you get into the larger lots.
Do you feel that's realistic with the proximity to the landfill and their expansion and their future expected expansion?
We looked at that, and we actually thought it, with the cost of developing land today and what it costs per lot, we thought we could hit those targets, and this is one of the pieces that at least the seller was accommodative in some of their valuations, which would allow us to hit those targets. Otherwise, we couldn't do that because the cost of development is becomes too high.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Mayer.
How many total houses are you planning?
225 were proposed on this layout.
Alderwoman Evans.
Are you expecting four bedrooms average?
I knew you would be looking at three and four bedroom houses in general.
I don't like the cul-de-sacs either. Are you proposing an alternative to cul-de-sacs?
We can work on that. Yes.
Do you have any more? I'm sorry. Do you have any more of those nicer map? I mean, we were given these. Do you have? Just to take a quick look. I'll hand it back. Thank you.
I'm going to come back to you, Jim. Alderwoman Evans. Wilhelm.
Tell me about the water and sewer. I know sort of where it's at. What are your plans for that?
Well, it would be municipal sewer and water. We'd extend the water line that is a little further east on Loomis, and we'd run it to the site. The sewer is already at the site. And, of course, you'd have your normal storm sewer and ponds and what have you, and gas and electric. But it would be fully serviced.
And you're planning on paying for that cost? You're not asking for assistance on that?
We would plan on paying for the cost, but we would ask for a right of recovery for any people who would potentially use it down the road in time, but would be fully funded by us.
Okay. You talked about 10-year. You think it would take you 10 years to develop this full, fill it all up?
Well, that
approximately.
That would say 20-some houses a year. It could go faster, but given what we just came out of, people want to come to Franklin, so we're hoping it would be quicker, but that's just a projection.
Question for staff. Do you know what the housing rate we've had per year in the last 5 years?
Sorry, I do not know that offhand.
I'm just wondering how that compares to the figure you're giving us. I see 225 lots is a pretty high absorption. Since sitting up here, we haven't had any subdivisions like this in quite a while. Had a few homes here and there. I'm just wondering if we approve something this large, if that's pretty much going to be all we're going to be able to handle in Franklin for quite some time, which might affect maybe some of the other areas where someone might be thinking about homes. And I guess I'm also not as thrilled about the cul-de-sac. I prefer the traditional neighborhood layouts that we used to do a long time ago, where if a street was blocked, you could actually get in and out by taking another street. I know that this is kind of what we keep seeing, but we're learning that not only is not the complete streets concept, but it also is a snowplowing nightmare. But I like the way you've tried to accommodate some of the features by doing that, so if you could still do that and have a few less cul-de-sacs, I think that would save us city some money for that issue. Alderwoman Mayer talked about, she used the term industrial, and you talked about more doctors or
a business, kind of a business district in that front 9 acres.
So to me, that's not really industrial. So have you thought about beyond that, would we end up with some lower-end industrial, or what are your thoughts on what well, thinking about putting out.
Well, our proposal was residential at this time, based on gathering the input of what direction you direct us to go. We know that this was a business industrial area, and if that's what you tell us this parcel needs to be, we analyze that and decide how we'd want to approach that. But that's where we're trying to gather the input. In some of the industrial things that I've had, absorption has been very slow. It's been a very difficult time. The big box stuff on the eye is humming along. It's going quite well in the Kenosha area, and some of the things in the being proposed in Racine now, that they're running a $16 million sewer and water project that's just getting approved in July to extend sewer and water from Highway 20 all the way to Highway B at 6 miles that the village of Caledonia is paying for with no developer coming, which is highly unusual to see that happen to one of your neighbors. But as you're seeing the aggressive need of industrial players wanting to be on the eye because of the timeline and transportation costs of getting there, it's that timeline it takes to drive from this park to get to the eye. As you're going in direction, they'd rather pay a premium by land on the eye, and you have those labor costs and gas costs that you save of just getting to the eye. So is it possible we could something here can happen? I would never say that that's not possible. Of course it's possible. But there's preferred spots. It's just a matter of that absorption of how, if you're taking the eye, how far you want to go. We also looked at that, I've heard a number around $360,000 is what it takes to break even for your $11,000 a year student to attend the schools, what have you. So when you get in, you're in that break even and up range, which is something that helps when you're looking at residential versus industrial. If this did become industrial, we probably would ask you for a TIF district to go here. So instead of doing this on our own as we go, has its pluses and minuses, but the industrial part is still on. Of course, it's on the table. You're going to decide what it is, but we just think that if you pushed it a little further to the east, you'd be better off.
Right. I kind of like the idea you talked about. You know, having a little bit nicer than industrial. If you're going to have homes, I don't think they're going to want to be by industrial. So I don't know if it can really be both without making quite a few changes to this. I understand the master plan shows this as, something different. I don't know really what is the best for that site, but obviously it's high traffic and that's where businesses like to be. So the fact that you have this strip along here, I think, helps the other, residential to me. A little bit easier to take. It would be nice if maybe we could get a little more balance, since there's a pretty good buffer from the homes if the commercial area was maybe a little bit bigger, then we're talking about a little more balance. I wouldn't mind seeing the figures, because it's really hard for me to make a decision on what the figures are, when you talk about school costs. Then you're talking about if it's industrial, you're going to ask for assistance with that. I think it would be to our benefit to have all of those figures laid out for us to make a better decision financially on what's going to be best for the city. You haven't probably really run any of the numbers like that? Or
we could run projections that are pretty accurate on sewer and water costs, road costs, once we get a little better layout and get rid of some of those cul-de-sacs that we have been told to look at. But, we agree that buffer is important. The buffer could push back those commercial building buffers with the beautiful landscaping there. It helps the noise coming from Loomis. It's a perfect way to buffer and gain value from all that frontage. So, but we can run some calcs for you.
Yeah, okay. Especially with that. I don't know as far as what school costs. If you're going to put in these homes with a lot of bedrooms, I'm going to guess that's a pretty big amount of children that could end up in our school. And this is the Franklin School District, which is one we always struggle with. So you have a little bit of the the higher density, the R5, next to the commercial, could you go maybe even higher density than that? So it would be more type, like apartment type things where you'd have less kids that would be going into the schools.
Yeah, then, yeah, we'd be happy to look at that.
And then transition it out more, so if you were increasing your commercial just a little bit, and then having some type of higher end units. I'm not going to say condos because that's probably not the market, but high end apartments. It seems to be like a lot of people are kind of moving away from the really $300,000-$400,000 homes. I'm just wondering how you're going to be able to sell all those with, unless you've got some people with money lined up that can afford those kind of homes. A lot of people, I know, I can't even get a loan.
Very true. I do own a real estate company, and we're seeing a REMAX franchise with 50 agents, and I can tell you it's not that easy to get a loan anymore. It's tough.
Right.
You're right.
And so that would bring me to the phases. If this was approved today, which phase would you want to start first? Would it be on the east or west of this?
Well, we'd probably start looking at some of the smaller lots first. Because that becomes more of a price point market to begin with. And when I say price point, you're 350 plus still, but you're still in that range, and you would build from there. That's more affordable as you're moving forward for all the reasons that you're talking about right now. So we'd probably look at doing that first, but market studies would tell us that. I'm just telling you that we'd actually go through studies, actually find out what makes the most sense. That means focus groups and the whole work. So we kind of make a science out of this. We don't wing it and try to find out the best place to start. But that would be my gut reaction.
Well, this is kind of information from the council, too, as well as you. On the August 5th meeting, we're having someone who does like retail leakage studies coming in and giving a presentation, and also someone from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is going to be coming for us to give a presentation. So if that's helpful to what you're trying to do as far as funds that are available through the state funding or this information about possible retail, if any of that information can help you, you're welcome to come to that meeting. The other last thing I have is I noticed that it's a farm piece of property, and I see a lot of drainage tracks in here. Have you looked at the hydric soils maps on this site?
I'll let Josh answer that.
Yes, we have. There's kind of undulating topography and lower-lying prior-converted wetland areas. There may be a few wetland areas that show up in some of our open space areas. Right now, we, Ed looked at groundwater depths. There are areas in the lower line elevations where the groundwater isn't all that deep, but it works good with the rolling topography in a residential setting. You end up with homes with exposures all set well above groundwater elevations.
I'm just wondering with homes with basements, high water tables.
Yeah, that's tough to show at this scale, but it's been taken into consideration where some of these roads are located and actually follow higher elevation contours. So it's all with a mind to how the site drain grade and kind of work with the groundwater and the site goes.
Well, I have to say, I think you're pretty brave to be bringing in this much residential at this point when things are not moving fast. So it's I don't know. You might want to think if we can really handle all that before you put too much into it. I'm not. I guess I've given you enough comments to think about.
Alderwoman Evans, then Alderman Dan, and then Alderman Schmidt.
Well, this is a lot of lots, and the comment about apartments. I don't know that that would bring in, I know you said high-end apartments, I don't know that would bring in any less children necessarily, but have you looked in at all into the capacity of the schools regarding?
We have not done that yet. We will.
because the way I see it, with that many homes, we have one elementary school in that area, and the building capacity there right now has room for about another 100 elementary school students. And I would see that we would eventually need another elementary school in this area with this many homes, and definitely redistricting. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just bringing that up. And have you done a research on, you said you're in real estate, obviously. These homes to me just seem too expensive. I just think people are looking for smaller homes right now. That's just what I see out there. But I just think they're very expensive homes for that area.
To be in Franklin, it's not easy to be less than $300,000 if you look at what it costs to develop a lot today. If you take a 100-foot lot, for an example, you're looking at $50,000 to $60,000 in infrastructure costs just to put them in. Then you buy the land, and you do the marketing costs and the holding costs, that you're really looking at lots over $100,000. So that seems to be the norm moving forward. There's been a lot of value in the marketplace lately buying distressed lots, as you've probably seen, even in your community, in a number of different projects. But as those projects get absorbed, that's going to be the new norm. Unless you go into condos or something else, that standard of getting those prices up is just where the marketplace is taking us. Especially if you're having density of 2 units an acre, you know, or about, it just it's too difficult unless you gain more density to drive that cost down. But we think there's still demand. There's a lot of growth, we believe, coming in this corridor. You're a very desirable community to be in. And you look at the lack of lots in Oak Creek right now. I think you have, 40 lots, or not very many left in all of Franklin right now that are buildable according to the MLS statistics that are out there. So we think you're an attractive community to come to, and we think the people want to be here. And we think this actually helps with getting a new house in this 350 range to be in the low end of the scale for somebody who wants to come in here and who wants actually a new house. You can get an existing house for less, but a new one, it's getting tougher to hit those numbers.
Alderman Dandrea, then Alderman Schmidt, and then Alderman Mayor. Alderman.
Just real quick, Ms. Wilhelm was talking about, I'd like to see that comparative analysis of the industrial versus residential.
Okay.
Show us that impact on both sides. Explain, you go through, and also in this, discuss the phase process. Okay? Looking at it, didn't know that there'd be a phasing. And then in regards to the pathways, please explain in that what you're going, the advantages of one to another, and what you're going to do for the community. Okay, and also the, as everybody wants to know, the impact on the school system as well. So if you look at those important factors, when you're giving us this comparative analysis, please show us all those impacts so that it'll be readily available for us to go through it in a much more expeditious manner.
I have to do that just to give you a ballpark number. When we do industrial acreage, mm-hmm. we're looking at a value of at least $400,000 an acre in order to make it a justifiable project in general. Again, difference a little bit between community, but if you're getting 2 units to an acre here, just some simple math at $350,000 a piece, you're at $700,000. So just to give you some guidance, what's going to happen when I show you the study, it will show you you'll gain more residential value than you will in the industrial segment. But the study can actually show you those exact breakdowns.
Ray, that's true. It's absolutely true. You will show more value with the residential. However,
use more services.
Use more services, and you get more children in the schools, and you lose money on every sale, but you make it up on volume.
Understand.
Let me take a moment here and remind the Common Council, because actually, Alderwoman Wilhelm and I were the only ones that worked through the Comprehensive Master Plan.
Yeah.
She's always been here.
No, I've always been here. She's the comprehensive master plan was a long and very involved and process that had lots of public meetings, and I see State Representative Skowronski in the back of the room, whose district this was in, who held a number of neighborhood meetings, and through those meetings, that's how this was determined to be business park. It wasn't done without public input. I remind the Common Council that on that back wall right there, we have our 70-30 goal. For 13 years, for about 25 years, I've been hearing, give us relief from the Franklin School District by doing that. But by doing this, you flip that upside down. So I'm just saying, there has been public input, and I appreciate, Suzanne, notwithstanding your comments from your neighbors currently. And a 10-year phasing doesn't really excite me. But anyway, having said that, it's Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman Mayor.
So, obviously there are a lot of variables at play here. So I wanted to reiterate earlier about the concept with the cul-de-sacs. I've sat on our Public Works Commission for 5 years, and one of the most common threads is, well, I live in a cul-de-sac, and we're always the last ones to get plowed out, and I know the public works people, because they have to figure out where to go with the snow when driveways are parked one in circles and stuff. So I am not a big fan of continuing in the cul-de-sac mode. I guess I'm still out on whether we need to go to convert this all to residential, or if we're going to try to continue pursuing a business park. I am curious at least of seeing some kind of retail and commercial development going in along Loomis Road, as that is a main arterial connecting up to Muskego and Wind Lake and everything. So I believe that as we expand out, that would be a good avenue to drive more business into Franklin as well.
Alderman Evans.
Mayor. It's
your fault.
I know, and I am proud of that. I told you about it.
There are three mayors on this county council. It's her fault.
I want to commend you for, you know, wanting to do this on your own, bringing your own money into this, and having, you know, putting your money where your mouth is impressive to me. The Ryan Creek Interceptor has been there for at least a couple of years. I'm sure developers have known about that thing for a long time, and yet the first offer that I know of that has come onto this property is for residential property or residential development, and everybody on the council knows where I stand with residential development. I believe that it is part of economic development also. As far as the tax on the schools, I feel as though that's probably a school district issue, and, you know, I think that we should be talking to the schools anyway, or the school anyway, but, you know, they haven't come to us complaining about that kind of stuff that I know of. So if we can get a conversation going on that, that would be fantastic. Maybe this would be something that would be a catalyst to that. As far as, you know, developing this in the industrial, you're then taking taxpayer money and having to put that into this development instead of allowing a developer to come in and do it himself. You know, somebody who feels very strongly about a residential development, it's impressive, and I appreciate that very much.
Anyone else? All right, Ray.
Thank you for your time and your input. It's appreciated, and we will take it to task. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Judge. Item G6, resolution to amend resolution number 2003-5610, imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for a property located at 5120 West Ryan Road to allow for the sale of diesel fuel. This is commonly known as ANDs. Alderwoman Evans.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those, discussion. Alderman Wilhelm.
I noticed that staff had recommended consideration of 18-wheel trucking or something. Is that something that we want to have in this to point out for the future that would be need to come back and limit that, or do we want to just deal with it as it comes up and staff hopefully remembers that that was a topic?
It's in the record.
It's not in the resolution. I mean, the 18-wheel part is not in.
Certainly it's not in the resolution, but it is in the documents related to this subject matter. I'll assist the attorney.
I was pointing to planning staff in the audience.
Sorry, if you could repeat that, it was...
I was just wondering if you staff was recommending the part about the 18-wheel diesel, the consideration of that, and what you recommend. I can't pinpoint your recommendation right now, but I know I read it in here. So I didn't know if you would be comfortable having that in the resolution as a reminder versus just making it as your comment, and then maybe it gets missed later on or something.
Whether the 18-wheelers would be allowed here?
Not allowed, but what would the process might be needed?
It's very typical with any development. If an applicant is proposing to amend a site, a building, whatever it is, it's going to be a site plan amendment, or in this case, it would be a special use amendment if they were to change the site around to have a truck fueling area. So it is just a standard required process.
Mr. City Attorney.
I think what Mr. Fuchs just said is that it does not need to be in this resolution because they couldn't do it without a further application.
That's very helpful, thank you.
And a practical consideration, no truck driver would drive into that lot because it would be a monumental pain. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G7, application of Milwaukee Water Works, Milwaukee County, for authority to increase water rates pursuant to PSC docket number 3720 WR108 for 137 properties in the city of Franklin.
Question, City Attorney, is this, the motion doesn't say that this is a half split for the return pump. It just says that there would be a credit, but it doesn't say it's half.
Mr. City Attorney.
It is the half allocation to all property taxpayer based on their property value. And the entirety of what is charged on the subject properties as computed by the Director of Finance, which is what it is, would be refunded. So these properties will, in their gross amount paid to the City of Franklin for property taxes, no longer have that portion of that tax levy, which could be allocated or considered to be payment of one half of public fire protection in the city of Franklin.
Okay, so I just thought maybe it would be more clear if we put in there half, it would be subject to half of, the word half, and that's what's clear in the motion. So if I want to insert that, where would you suggest I put in that?
Well, all of calculations and comparisons were in the relatively voluminous prior council action sheets.
In the motion. I wanted to insert.
My concern is that it might be confusing because I'll use very round numbers here. The 100% of the Milwaukee Water Works public fire protection charge, which will be billed directly to the customers, is about $100 a year. The one half of the public fire protection charge, which will be refunded by the City of Franklin, is about $7.80 per year currently. And that was all spelled out in the prior action sheets, and if you start talking about half, some people might say, well, that's confusing.
I'll make the motion as it stands for item G7.
Second.
Alderman Schmidt. You had your hand up.
Well, I was going to make the motion, but she made the motion, so I second it.
It's your district. Thanks for letting her do it. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G8. As soon as I turn my page here. Letter of understanding between the City of Franklin and the Franklin Professional Firefighters related to a grievance.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G9, support participation in 24th Annual South Suburban Chamber of Commerce Golf Outing, Alderman D'Andrea.
Recently, I was approached from the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce for participation in events that the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce is made up of, City of Oak Creek and the City of Franklin. I've attended several of the breakfast meetings, and we've, as a council, have rather poor representation at these meetings, but City of Oak Creek has substantial representation at these meetings. The businesses are represented by both communities, and we need to be visible for our businesses in our community. And so I'm asking that the City of Franklin participate not just in this golf outing, but to become more active with the Chamber of Commerce and attend their functions, not just their annual dinner that occurs that we do buy a table on, but that we become more active. And this is a start of being more active with the community, with this organization. And so I'm asking that we fund in one way or another, get involved with the golf by supporting a foursome and or doing some advertising as a whole sponsorship. Obviously, whole sponsorship is not being visible. Putting a sign on a hole, but it's up to this council to decide how we want to be involved with this organization.
I'm not sure I know what that motion is.
So I didn't make a motion, but I guess I would prefer to make a motion that the City of Franklin become sponsor a foursome for the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce for the August 18, 2014 event, which will be held at Meadowbrook Country Club in Racine. And the amount would be $600.
Is that the 18-hole?
That would be the 18-hole participation, correct.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
And then proposed funding source, Mr. Rotzenberg.
I was checking, Mr. Mayor. I just need to see where that is.
Pitch that one. Any other discussion of that motion? Alderwoman Evans.
I'm not in favor of using tax dollars for that. I mean, if aldermen want to put up their own money to do that, I'm in favor of that. I am in favor of aldermen and city representatives attending the breakfast. I've tried to put that into my schedule, and I am proposing to attend some of these breakfasts. You do have to pay out of your own pocket to attend those. That's fine, but I don't think taxpayers should pay for a golf outing. I'm opposed to that.
Alderman Schmidt.
Makes up the foursome, or how is that determined?
Don't look at me. What I do, they call
how
it
ditch digging. How many golfers do we have up there?
Is it
I'm
not
just good at the turn, that's all.
Well, if you're going to, then I don't even have to bring it to a motion. If we're gonna pay on our own, sure, then it doesn't even have to be a motion, because we can just get four guys together and pay the $150 a piece, and I don't have to bring it to the common council. But the likelihood of that happening is probably nil. Okay. It's business development. It's nurturing. It's working. It's working with your businesses that are in here, and you're showing that camaraderie. That's what this does. It's how do you measure that benefit?
Alderwoman, that's it, though. Yeah, Alderwoman.
Mayor, and it's my fault, and I'm proud of it.
that's just great.
You said that Oak Creek has a lot of participation. What do you feel that they get out of it? It's their aldermen who are participating in the breakfasts and.
Their aldermen and the mayor, correct. Okay. They usually have three or four. They usually almost fill their table.
How many people usually attend the breakfast in general?
There's usually close to 40 to 50, depending on who the speaker would be.
And there's obviously networking and, you know, all of that.
Yes, and what happens is they have a 30-second or 1-minute power networking, so everybody at the event gets to talk about their business and talk about highlights in their business. So, you know, kind of a free advertising. So, yes, it is interactive, and it's a good way to be able to, you know, for people to find out about other businesses in the area. This organization is one of the most proactive chambers of commerce that I've been involved in for some time. It's active. It's a good organization, and they've got. I mean, I don't know, Suzanne, if you've been to the annual dinner, but the annual dinner is usually attended by probably 300-400 people plus, and they do acknowledge and give acknowledgement and rewards, or not rewards, but awards to outstanding businesses in the area. So it's a good organization to be part of.
And I'm sorry, we usually attend that?
Yes, we do.
The annual
dinner. And that event is picked up by the city. That's, I don't remember the amount, but I know it's in the $500 range, let's say.
Dave, I hope you all recognize I'm being a little informal. You should be addressing the chair.
Oh, sorry about that, Mr. Mayor.
Trying to be a kinder, gentler mayor. Not sure where it's getting me just yet, but Alderwoman Willow.
Oh, what does our membership get us? Mr. LaBerta, do you know what we're supposed to be as a city? We're a member of the chamber, and what does that get us?
It gets you access to their newsletter, their email, participation in their regular monthly and their regular meetings, but I don't believe it has any impact on these special events like the dinner and the golf, where
the
there is separate fees.
Well, maybe it might be easier as well if we did, you know, like we do for the for the dinner, where we ask how many people want to go, and then the one that want to go, we actually pay for them to go. So the dinner networking only. I'm not a golfer, so I wouldn't golf. But, you know, if someone wanted to go to the dinner with me, I go along to the dinner to network with the city and, you know, try to meet some of the other people and make our presence more known. But to me, it's a little high for the golf and recreation. I think if you want to do the golf part, maybe you can pick that up yourself, and the city could say, you know, three or four of us from the council, mayor, a couple of the aldermen want to go. It's a $30 networking dinner only, and we get that. That's what I would suggest to minimize it, but yet still have some presence.
Alderman Mayor.
You're talking maybe three people want to go, you're talking $90.
Alderman Mayor.
If we had a person that was a professional economic development director or salesperson or whatever it was, and we were going to pay his expenses for something like this, then I could maybe see it. But I don't see spending tax dollars for this. I don't see the value.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, the golf foursome itself, I understand where Alderman DeAndrea is coming from and that we're looking to increase our visibility. I see the emails come through all the time, the invitations to their breakfasts, and I sometimes toy with the idea of going, but I haven't physically gotten involved. I think that would probably be more beneficial if a few more of us would participate in the breakfasts and be able to do more networking rather than just spending $150 to do a round of golf. I think we could be better represented if we took some active participation in the breakfast meetings, even if it costs us $15 a piece or whatever it is for the breakfasts.
Let me weigh in on this one second. I don't do, but I sponsor probably half a dozen golf outings every year and pay for foursomes and pay for whole sponsorships. And of course, it gets expensed and, you know, it's company money and all of that. But unless, if the attendees, if you pay for a foursome and the attendees go and they're the foursome, there's no impact. If you pay for a foursome and you split them up between four other foursomes, then you're talking. As for going, you know, meeting at the turn or doing dinner afterwards, I think that's all fine. For those of you that don't know, I was the chairman of the Franklin Chamber of Commerce for years. So what the work they're doing now is good work. You just got to be smart about these kind of things. I don't have a heartburn either way, but if it's going to be four City of Franklin folks golfing around themselves, not worth it. Alderman Wilhelm and Mr. Roberto.
Well, I've been to enough of the events, the breakfasts, and I do see the value in that as far as you really can make a lot of contacts. There is some value to that, I think, of the city. So I'm going to make a motion that we allocate. There is a motion on the floor.
Do you want to? Clerk, read it back.
Your motion's not going. Do you want to withdraw it when we make another one?
Hold on a second.
Alderman DeAndrea moved that the City of Franklin support a foursome for the 24th Annual South Suburban Chamber Golf Outing to be held on August 18th, 2014. At Middlebrook Country Club in the amount of $600, seconded by Alderwoman Suzanne Mayer.
Any discussion on that motion? Are you waggling?
I have one more comment. You know, we can have representatives from the community, but then also invite two business owners that are in the community to participate as our guests. That's usually how this networking event occurs. Okay, it's not made up of four council members. Okay, it's made up of we network out, and hey, maybe we want to talk to this gentleman, Suzanne, that presented this concept. Maybe he's a golfer, and talk to him. We can talk to him in a more casual environment. That's how these events go on. Okay. So you bring on prospective customers. Hey, maybe we have a prospective customer that's looking at the city right now, and we'd like to talk, or a client that we do business with. Maybe an individual from Grave that we do a lot of engineering work through. The options are open to us. No, it wouldn't be consisting of four people from the city. I recommend, I could clarify my motion that we have two people from the city, one maybe from the council, one from the staff, and then we invite two businesses in the area to kind of reach out that way. That's how these events usually work.
Fatherly advice: don't hamstring yourself when you got a wide open motion.
We're having general discussion and we're explaining it because a lot of people don't participate in these types of events.
Yeah, the point that you made is very valid. I would, if we can't get a foursome from the city, then absolutely ought to invite somebody else. But, sales guy, right? You don't invite somebody you already have. You invite a prospect. Somebody that we want to bring in the community. So, that's all I'm going to say. Anybody else on the motion? The motion was a foursome, $600. From Mark. Seeing no more discussion, all those in favor of the motion? Oh, yes. Mr. Who's got the numbers? Mr. Rotzenberg. Where is it coming from? Or Mr. Roberta?
Right within the alderman's budget in the, for example, in the memberships line items, and you also have boards and commission expenditure. Although it may push your membership line items a little over, the total appropriation unit within the alderman budget would be able to absorb $600.
Is there still a line item of similar to $5,000 for recognition?
That's in the mayor's budget. There's a volunteer recognition award of $1,000.
So everybody knows in the back of my head was to do a volunteer recognition dinner again this year, but we'll go golfing instead. Motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
There you go.
Motion fails. Motion is 5-1. 4-1-5. Motion fails. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I've been traveling around and pumping parking meters and using my own gas, so it's hard for me to justify the golf thing when I can't even get the economic development issue that I'm trying to do funded. But I do see the value, so I was going to just move to allocate $100 toward council networking at chamber events. That means you could have three people go to the dinner networking, or they could also use, that's two breakfasts apiece for the same amount of money. You get six people going to breakfast. To me, that's a lot more for the money if you do it that way.
I suggest the motion is that you establish a dollar amount to be dispersed for chamber activities at the approval of the council president. I suggest the motion. Pick a dollar.
And this is in addition to the volunteer event you were talking about, do you?
I don't have the money to do that. I got to talk to Paul about that.
Okay. Well, then I'm just going to allocate the $100 for that.
How about a better motion? A little more clear. Remember, SMART is
well,
simple,
I was trying to
measurable, accountable.
I thought I had a clear motion, but then you made a suggested change, which I didn't completely get about this.
Mr.
So
City
I was
Attorney.
Trying to accommodate your motion and my motion.
The agenda item is golf outing.
So
it's still money for chamber events, which is
Madam Clerk.
It says networking. It says dinner networking. It says networking.
Madam Clerk.
What I do have is Alderwoman Wilhelm moved to allocate $100. For networking at the 24th Annual South Suburban Chamber Golf Outing to be held on August 18th at Meadowbrook Country Club for chamber activities approved by the Council President. At that event.
there support for that motion? Seeing none, motion dies due to lack of second. Alderman Mayor.
One quick question. Southeast Wisconsin Chamber, does that include Racine?
No.
Why are they going to a golf course outside of
the area?
Because that golf course is donated to them. Because this event is a scholarship fundraising for both of the high schools, Oak Creek and Franklin.
And you thought the fire chief was not political. All right. Any other action on this item? I'm going to take the opportunity to remind you that the ordinances providing for our pay include a dollar amount that says expenses and mileage. Not that I'm cheap, and I don't want to have an argument. But
just a quick question. When was the last time that was updated?
If you want to go down that path, you're welcome to do it.
I'm just curious, because I don't think it's kept up with inflation.
Item H1, licenses. Alderman Dandridge.
The licensing committee makes a motion to approve the licensing committee agenda of July 15, 2014. As Cheyenne T-Lan, operator, hold for city attorney to review court papers. Janine Adamczyk, approved. Cassandra Baylor, approved. Caitlin Bost, approved. Thomas Kane, approved. Amanda Courtright, approved. Barbara Davison, approved. Julia DeLogdo, approved. Caroline Drought, approved. Alexander Essenberg, approved. Nicole Fico, approved. Patrick Fisher, approved. Brittany Garcia, approved. Miguel Garcia, approved. Garnett Kanizinski, approved. Jody Hazy, approved. Andrew Hushek, approved. Amy Jacques, approved. Gagandeep Carr, approved. Sharon Larscheid, approved. Melissa Lucier, approved. Lisa Masta, approved. Michelle McDonald, approved. Andrea Mollenhauer, approved. Dana Naparella, approved. Caroline Nisman, approved. Christine Ogzelek, approved. Denise Propp, approved. Natalie Radish, hold for appearance. Neil Robbins, approved. Amanda Runno, approved. Jessica Sauer, approved. Stephanie Sauer, approved. Scott Schilling, approved. Timothy Sheldon, approved. Juan Silva, approved. Gurjeet Singh, approved. Gurzik approved. Singh approved for the 14-15 as well. First one was 13-14. Poonam Singh, approved. Tyrone Smoker, hold for appearance. Jonathan Steckling, approved. Mary Trudeau, approved. Carrie Budvar, approved. Cassandra White, approved. Judith White, approved. Missing notary seal. Entertainment and amusement licensing for 14-15. Primes Times LLC, doing business as Fun Times, approved, but clerk's signature missing and seal missing. Franklin Lions Club, this is temporarily Class B beer license. Franklin Lions Club, approved. Franklin Lioness Club, approved. The VW Post 10394 Hales Corners / Franklin, approved. And a temporary entertainment amusement, VFW Post 10394 Hales Corners Franklin, approved.
Is there support?
Second.
Discussion? Madam Clerk, please. Acclamation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item I-1, Motion to approve general net checking account city vouchers in the range of 152809 through 152952 in the amount of $699,290.28, dated July 2nd.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion approved 6-0. Motion approving the net payroll dated July 11th, 2014, the amount of $343,037.94, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $217,768.35, plus city matching payments where required.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aye.
Motion is approved 6-0. Motion approving the net payroll of July 25th, 2014, estimated at $340,000, in payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $388,000, plus any city matching payments.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. We've come to that part of the evening where somebody needs to say, let's go home.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.